hope everyone had a good week. I know if you're like me, you're happy that it's a little cooler today. I see some folks bundled up, probably not as happy about it, but I'm happy to have some cooler weather. All right. You know what, before we get to sing, Brother Jason, will you open us up with a word of prayer?
Our Father, thank you for bringing us together this morning. Thank you for bringing the Seabolts to us for a visit. Give your blessing to us and us to them. And we thank you for bringing our pastor back to us safely. Thank you for a good time with family, a chance to get away. Thank you for filling the pulpit last Sunday, Lord. We thank you for these songs we have to sing. Thank you for the word that we have to read and study and you preach that from. And we just pray you bless this time this morning, give the words to the pastor that you haven't preached to us. Yes. We pray that these songs would be ministering in everyone's hearts as we sing them. Pray that we think about the words that we're singing and not just read the poetry. And that it would mean something to us. We thank you for it. We pray that all that are here today would be blessed as a result of what is said and done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. If you would, turn with me to hymn number 176 and ask that you all stand. Sing with me, page 176, Christ Arose. Charge it for the next one, though. All right, if you would.
would, just turn a few pages over. Page 186. 186. You know, I had a different song picked for the first song, but the Lord laid on my heart to change it to that. I guess he was right, huh? I got the preacher stirred up. All right, 186. And can it be?
Thank you.
song is a little sermon in and of itself, man. That is hard to get through. And if you're reading those words and you know what the Lord did for you, man, and what amazing love He has showed us. Good singing this morning. You may be seated.
Do you know how it feels this morning to have the chains fall off?
Yes, sir.
Come on. He said, my chains fell off, set free, made free through the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know what it's like to have the chains come off? Do you know what it's like to where thine eye diffused a quickening ray into that darkness of your life? Amen. Jesus, bringing in His light.
Amen.
Changing your life, being born again, being converted, being translated from the powers of darkness and become a child of light this morning. Glory to God for that this morning. And can, you know what amazing about that one, that song there? It's one of my favorite hymns. You know why? Because I'm amazing. How can it be that God would die for me?
Yes, sir.
If you're just honest this morning, there's no... If you were to talk to me, preacher, come up to me after church and you tell me why God should die for me.
Come on.
If you got a reason this morning of why God should die for you, I want to know it. Because I ain't got no reason in my life why God should die for me. Amazing love. It's amazing. It's a mystery why God would die. For God so loved the world. Why? Why would God so love the world when most of mankind rejects God and decides to do their own thing and live their own way? Yet God still loves us. God still cares for us. And God was willing to send His Son to die on that cross, to shed His blood so that you could have victory and eternal life through Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amazing love. Forgive me this morning. I'm a little excited that some of those songs... Amen. Some of my favorite songs, and it's just I'm thankful this morning that God sees me. I'm thankful this morning that I got a God that loves me, that God cares for me, that God can help me.
Yes.
As far as announcement goes this morning, Lord willing, this evening we're going to have a fifth Sunday singing. So at 5:30 we're going to do some singing tonight, and then Lord willing, afterwards we'll have a little fellowship, a little food to eat. So if you'd like to bring something, you're not required to, but decide to come tonight, we're going to have a little fellowship to eat after fellowship and eating afterwards. So if you could just bring something if you can. And are able, we'll do that tonight. Lord willing, this Tuesday starting at 6 o'clock, we'll have that grief Bible study and a dinner involved with that as well. So you don't need to bring anything for that. My wife and I will take care of that dinner, but that'll be this Tuesday. If you didn't sign up, but you'd still like to come, you're more than welcome. But it'll be this Tuesday, and we're going to do that every other week. So the next one, I believe, will be, and I'll let those that attend Tuesday to know, the next one will be September 14th. I believe that's the correct date on that. So we're going to do it every other week. And then, Lord willing, this coming Saturday, we'll have a Labor Day picnic over there at St. Park. We were at before, starting at 12 o'clock. And then, Lord willing, this Thursday, again, just some public outreach, holding up some scripture signs. Thank you for those that kept that thing going while I was away. And Lord willing, again, this Thursday, we'll try to do it again at 6 over here at Front Pine. And I'd like to, if we have an amount of people that we had in this past Thursday, separate some people that be willing to go down to Front Street and Ray Street over here. Where there's just more traffic. So we'll talk about that Thursday if we got enough people. But amen, that's all I have.
All right, well, we're going to keep this going. Let's keep up this good singing. We're going to kind of go along right with that theme that we've been singing about how great God is, how great His love is. Would stand with me, turn to page 187. And we're going to sing about His amazing grace.
I was lost, but now I'm
His grace, it is me. Because I sure needed it. My walk with God and my strength from God and Him bringing me back. I'm going to ask if everybody would keep standing. Let's sing verse 1 again, a cappella. Sing those words, think about those words, and just think about how amazing God's grace has been in your life.
Amen. Amen. It's a blessing to be back in church this morning, a blessing to be back with, I'm going to keep saying it because I don't know how to change that in my vocabulary yet, y'all. Amen. It's good to be back in church this morning, back up here in Pennsylvania. God's good. I'm thankful this morning that I just don't have religion. I'm very thankful this morning I don't have religion. I'm thankful for what God brought me out of and where God has me today, and that He hasn't given up on me, and that He would save a wretch like me and give me eternal life and the opportunity to serve Him and love Him and try to be about His business. God's just good. God is just good. If you take your Bible this morning, turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 this morning. I was sitting here. Some of the songs that were sung, and normally on Sunday mornings I'm trying to go through the book of Romans, but for whatever reason this morning I believe the Lord would just have me to look at John chapter 4 this morning. And this asks this question to you. I don't know how long this morning will go, but I'd like to ask this question: are you satisfied? Are you satisfied this morning in Jesus Christ? If you're saved this morning, are you satisfied in your Savior? And if you're lost, I have one that can satisfy. John chapter 4, look at verse number 1 right here. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I just ask for your wisdom and guidance now. Lord, have your will and way. God, help us to draw closer to you. Help us to love you more. God, help us to magnify you. Help us to praise you. Help us to be about your business and do your will. And Lord, I pray just now, Lord, just lead, guide, and direct. Father, clear my mind. Give me the thoughts, Lord, I pray. Lord, I pray nothing be done in the flesh, dear God. That there be nothing here that would quench the spirit, dear God. If there is, Lord, I pray you deal with it. Lord, I pray you'd have liberty this morning, Lord, to give us what we need. And Lord, meet with us, I pray. Because all is vain unless you meet with us, dear God. All is vain. Lord, we need you. And I just ask for your help now this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. But the Bible says here in John chapter 4, Jesus is on a journey. And I would say that most people in here are familiar with this story and how Jesus meets with this woman at a well. But the Bible says in verse number 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. The Bible says that the Pharisees were getting on him, getting on Jesus. It says in verse 1, because I heard that Jesus baptized more than disciples of John. And the Bible goes on to say that Jesus didn't baptize any but his disciples. And the Bible says that Jesus left Judea and departed again into Galilee. But he says before he goes down there, he says he must needs go through Samaria. Samaria was an area to where it wasn't just Jews, it was Jews and Gentiles, and you had this mixture of individuals living there that in the Jews' eyes were unclean, and the Jews really didn't want nothing to do with those brethren or those people there in Samaria. But I'm glad this morning that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. I'm glad this morning that Jesus Christ passed by my way, opened my eyes, and helped me see my need of salvation. I'm glad that God just didn't put me off to the side during the times that I rejected his outreach to me, but he continually pursued after me and opened my eyes to the true salvation that's found in Jesus Christ. The Bible says here, and he must needs go through Samaria. I believe here what we're looking at, and as we go through this story here, he spends about 2 days in Samaria. dealing with these Gentile dogs, this mixture of Jew and Gentile up there in Samaria. And it's exactly what's going on in our time right now. In about 2,000 years, it's been about Gentiles for the most part. It was to the Jew first, but now it's come to us. And I, like I said in Sunday school, what are we doing with the opportunities that God is providing for us? How are we living for Him today? Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Verse number 5, then cometh He to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. You see, there's some truth. There's some truth here in Samaria, as we're going to see as we go through this story. Jacob had been there, and he gave a well that was there to his son Joseph. You see, everything we have today, we owe to the Jew. It was to the Jew first. He came to his own people. Take your Bible, look at John, flip back to chapter number 1. And look at verse number 8. John 1, 8. John chapter 1 and verse number 8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Look at verse 11. And He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. To the Jew first. We owe what we have to the Jew. All the Old Testament was God the Father dealing with His chosen people, the nation of Israel, to the Jew. It is by God's grace that the Gentiles are able to get in on this thing. You see, it blew the mind of the Jew that not only were they not allowed, that they associate with Gentiles, but now you're saying in the book of Acts, after the resurrection, that the Gentile can have the same thing that the Jew has? Take your Bible, flip over to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2. You see, this was something for Jesus to go through Samaria and spend some time with this woman. His disciples are going to even question His actions. Look, this morning, if you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile dog. You're a Gentile. There's Jew, Gentile, and the church. Three groups of people in this world right now. Jew, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile, and that makes up everybody else. I don't care what culture you're from, what skin color you are. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. And then the church is made up of both saved Jew and saved Gentile. But look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. And you hath He quickened, which means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, which is the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see this morning, if you're lost, you're not saved, you're not born again, the spirit of the prince of the power of the air has power over you, and you are a child of disobedience. Disobedient to what? To what God desires. Verse number 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now look at verse number 11. Wherefore, because God's rich in His mercy, because God's quickened us, because we were once children of disobedience, we walked after the lust of our flesh, we walked after the lust of our mind, we were children of wrath, even as other, and yet God was rich in His mercy towards us, and by grace we are saved. Verse 11, wherefore, because of those things, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Do you see where God brought you this morning if you're a Gentile? We were without hope. We were without God in this world. The covenant was not given to us, yet it was given to the children of Israel. Yet God in his mercy and God in his grace allowed us as Gentiles to be able to take part in what Jesus Christ did on that cross, to where we can have forgiveness of sins, be made righteous through his blood that he shed. Do you realize what you have this morning and what God did for you as a Gentile? That's why God forbid this morning, brethren, God forbid we ever get stuck up on ourselves. God forbid we ever lift up our head and stick up our noses thinking that we're something when in reality we are nothing. If anybody on this planet had any type of ground to stand on to be magnified themselves, even in that, would be a Jew. Not any other nation. Only the Jew. Yet God saw fit to love us and to quicken us and to make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see this morning, brethren, if you're saved, you are seated in heaven right now. Look what it says. Verse number, what's that? Verse 6. Verse 6. Thank you, brother. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in. You see that word in? In Christ Jesus. Read through Ephesians chapter 1 and see how many times the word in is mentioned. In him, through him. It's all because of Christ Jesus. Right now, if you're saved and you're in Christ Jesus, he's in you. You are now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You say, preacher, how can that be? I'm still sitting here. I'm still here in this life. Yes, but in spirit, you are in Christ and Christ is in you. That's eternal life. That's eternal security because of what Christ has done for us. But look what it says down here in verse number 13. We were without hope, without God in the world, verse 13, but now, the present, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. How are you made close? How are you brought nigh to God? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, for he, Jesus, is our peace and hath broken down the middle wall of perdition between us. You see, there was a wall there. And we couldn't get through that wall, yet God saw fit through Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed to break down that middle wall of perdition between us. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both, what, Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, the Gentile, and to them that were nigh, the Jew. For through him, through Jesus, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, because of those things, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He broke down the middle wall of partition. He now makes it to where Jew and Gentile are one in him. Look back over at John chapter 4. Jesus must needs go through Samaria. He comes to a parcel of ground where Jacob's well was that he gave to his son Joseph. Verse number 6, John chapter 4, verse number 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Are you tired this morning? Are you weary? Your Savior knows what it's like to be weary. The Bible says here that Jesus, God manifest in the flesh. He was all God, yet at the same time, he was all man. And the Bible says here in John chapter 4 that he got wearied with the journey. Be not weary in well-doing. There's times you might be tired. Jesus got tired. Jesus got weary in the flesh. Don't let the devil pound you and get on you because you're weary. Your Savior got weary. But even in his weariness, even in his tiredness, he still was about the Father's business. He still was. Look, this morning I mentioned in Sunday school, there's never a right time to just coast. There's never a right time to say, well, these last 2 months I've been reading my Bible, I've been praying, I've been going to church, I've been doing everything I know to do to serve my God and to draw close to Jesus, and I can just take these next couple days and just coast a little bit and live off of these last couple months. You can't do that. You got to gather that manna every morning. And if you let it sit to the next morning and you go try to get it, it's going to stink. You see, if you try to live off of yesterday, your attitudes today are going to stink. Your life's going to stink before God because you're trying to live off the past. You can't do that. Daily, every morning, you need to have a walk with God. You need to talk with God. You need to spend time with God daily with Jesus Christ, your Savior. But Jesus sits by this well. He's wearied. He's tired. Yet he still has an eye and a heart towards what his Father might desire for him to do. You know, there's times in our life to where God will ask you to do something when we're tired and we're wore out. What are you going to do in those times? You know, one thing that really helped me come to my faith in Jesus Christ was the brethren that I ran across before I was saved. Before I got saved, going to that little church where I eventually saw the truth and got saved, it amazed me how those brethren and how close they were, the fellowship that they had, the way they sang the hymns. I was talking to Jay last night. I remember going to that church and walking in there, and I had grown up in church, but I remember walking in that little tiny nothing of a building and those people singing out to God. And I remember sitting there thinking, there's something here that I have never seen before in my life. I have never heard people sing like this before. There was just a sweet spirit in there, and I'm thinking, there's something special about this place. And I come to find out, I realized knew why it was special, because they tried to strive and love Jesus Christ, their Savior. What I desire as a pastor is for people to come in here and feel the love of Jesus Christ through us. I want somebody to walk in here and say, there's just something different about these people. There's just something different about the singing. There's just something different in here. And to ask the question and tell you what the difference is because it's Jesus Christ that's being glorified, that's being magnified, that's being lifted up. And he's the reason why we're here this morning. Jesus is the reason why I'm here this morning. Verse number 7 in John chapter 4 says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. I love how blunt sometimes Jesus is with us and how he is with this woman. He pulls out the heart. Jesus pulls out what's really there. Can you imagine being this woman of Samaria? You're coming just to get some water to take it back home. And you see this man, you know he's a Jew. And the first thing he says to you is, give me something to drink. No hello, no hi, no how you doing, how's your day going? He looks at her and says, give me to drink. Well, that's quite rude. That's quite rude of Jesus. Who does he think he is? Give me to drink. Verse number 8. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? She starts thinking right away, why are you asking me to get something to drink? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked him of him, and he would have given thee living water. I'm not going to be very long this morning, but I want you to think about this. Are you thirsty this morning? Are you thirsty? I'm not talking about a physical thirst where you get water out of that jug back there or have a water bottle in your hand. I'm not talking about this kind of thirst. I'm talking about thirst, longing deep down in your soul for something to just satisfy. Something you can't quite put your hands on, but you just know that something is just missing in your life, and it seems like everything you try just is not fulfilling it. You see, this woman had a bunch of husbands before. We're going to see this as we read through this. But Jesus deals with her in her heart, and he doesn't answer her question. You see, she came to him with a question saying, how is it thou being a Jew asking me, a woman of Samaria, for drink? Jesus said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith that he give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? You see, she's still thinking about the physical. Jesus is dealing with the spiritual. Help us, Lord, help us to not put so much emphasis on the physical and more on the spiritual. You see, what really matters in this life today is an emphasis on the spiritual. We need to emphasize the spiritual and not the physical. Jesus says here to her, I have living water. She looks at him and says, how can you have living water? How can you give me to drink? How can you say to me to ask of you for this drink, for this living water, when you don't even have anything to draw from this well, and this well is deep? There's no way for you to give me water, this living water, because you don't even have nothing to draw that water out from. You see, that well is deep. That well is deep. The well of this world is deep, and unfortunately, it'll never provide you with water that will satisfy you. Jesus is the only one that can provide you with something that will satisfy that true living water. Verse number 12. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Have you ever drank of that water? Do you know what it's like to pass from darkness to light? There's a song that says, do you know how it feels to have your cold heart melted? There's a lot in our churches today that all they have is just a mere profession. They've said some words, they've done what a preacher said, they go about their business, they come to church, they do, but it's dead. It's just all dead. It's dead. When Jesus gets a hold of you, there ought to be a well of living water within inside you. There ought to be something inside you that satisfies, that helps you, that gives you what you need. Verse 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. You want that living water? You want true salvation? God's going to deal with you where you're at. Jesus didn't all of a sudden get, look, all this woman, all of a sudden she's coming along. Jesus is bringing her along and she says, sir, give me this water. Jesus doesn't say, well, here, I'm going to give it to you. No, he says, go call thy husband and come hither. Jesus knew exactly what was going on in this woman's life, that she was, though she had lived right up to a point, there came to a point where she tried to cut corners, and now the Lord's going to deal with her about it. Verse 17, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. You see, Jesus will deal with our sin. I'm not going to be much longer this morning, but you know what's missing in a lot of salvations today? Holy Ghost conviction. We as preachers and as churches, especially independent Baptists and in a lot of positions and states, have short-circuited the power and the working of the Holy Spirit of God. We get people to make a profession, to raise a hand, to say a prayer, to repeat something, and they say the right words, and they might even have the right heart attitude, but there's no Holy Ghost conviction. What did Jesus say? You read it further on in John. Accept a man. Accept Jesus. Draw him. Accept the Father. Draw him. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit should be drawing you, should be dealing with you, shall be wooing you, should be convicting you of sin and the salvation that can be found in Jesus Christ. We're short-circuiting and short-cutting the working of the Holy Spirit of God in individuals' lives. What did that song to him say? Brethren, we have met to worship. Help the trembling mourner who is struggling hard with sin. We skip that part. Just come on up here, just pray. No, let him tremble, let him think on it, let him sit on it, let him hold that rock of being uncomfortable because God's dealing with them. We short circuit. We say, you don't have to be uncomfortable. Just come on up, just pray. I got convicted before I got saved. The Holy Spirit of God, when I was sitting in that pew, when my wife walked forward, nobody could see it in there, but God was convicting me and dealing with me about my sin and showing me the only way to have that sin forgiven was through His blood that He shed on that cross. Salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. Nobody else in that church saw that, but God saw it and God was all over me. The Holy Spirit was to come, it says in the book of John, to deal with the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. We are afraid today to let the Holy Spirit of God deal with the souls of mankind. God wants to see people get saved more than we want to see them get saved. Preach the word and then let the individual hold it. Don't short circuit something that God's trying to do through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Ghost conviction. The church used to know something about Holy Ghost conviction. Jesus knew something about conviction. You don't think this is convicting this woman? Go call your husband. Lord, I don't have a husband. You're right. You don't have one. I'm glad you admit it. You've had five, and the one you're with now isn't your husband. You want to talk about getting rocked back on your feet? Get this picture in your head, brethren. You have this Samaritan woman waking up in the morning. I don't know what time of day this was. Waking up in the morning, eating her breakfast or whatever, getting dressed. She's living with a man who's not her husband. She's getting dressed. She's had five husbands before that. This man, she said, well, what's the use? I've already had five. I might as well just live with this guy. She's living with him. She's waking up, makes breakfast, whatever. Hey, go get some water, honey. Yes, I'll go get some honey, dear, or some water, dear. She gets the pot. She goes walking out there to the well. There's this man sitting there. He looks tired. She comes up to him. The first thing he says to her is, hey, give me a drink. What? Give me a drink? You're a Jew. You have no dealings with us Samaritans. You're asking me to give you something to drink? And then he says some strange stuff to her, like things that don't make sense. Living water, I'll give you something. You don't even have nothing to draw with to give me water. But she's coming along because she realizes there's something different about this man. Yeah, there is something. It's God manifest in the flesh. Something different about him. Give me this living water. Go call your husband. You want the living water? Go call your husband. I don't have a husband. Oh yeah, you're right. You don't have one. You've had five, but the man you're with is not your husband. Now, one of two things can happen right here. Forget you, you dirty Jew. Who are you to be talking to me and telling me what to do? I'll go do what I want to do and walk away. You get your own water. Or you start thinking, there's something different about him. How does he know I've had five husbands and the one I'm with now is not my husband? You see, when you let God start dealing some things, it's going to get people to scratch their head. This don't make no sense. This don't make no sense. How does this man know that I've had five husbands and the one I'm with now is not my husband? Look what she says in verse 19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, oh, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. See, she's not dealing with the situation that he wants her to deal with. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. How do you worship the Father? You worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Don't short circuit it. Make sure you're doing what Jesus says. He says you worship the Father and not only in the spirit, but also in truth. Verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Has God ever spoke to your heart and say, I'm the one you're looking for? I don't want you just coming to the Lord if you're lost this morning just because I said something, but because God's dealing with your heart. Because he's speaking to you. Because he's drawing you. Because he's wooing you. He's the one with whom we have to do. Take your Bible, look at Galatians, I believe it is. Galatians chapter 4. I believe it's Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Galatians chapter 4. We're going to read this one anyways. Galatians chapter 4, look at verse number 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which were by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Notice what it says here in verse number 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God. All right, we're going to hold your hand there and flip over to Hebrews chapter 4 and look at verse number 13. Hold your hand there in Galatians. And look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 13. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 13. Paul said to the church there in Galatia, he says, howbeit then, in verse 9, but now after that ye have known God, or rather known of God, look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The question I have with these two scriptures here is, God is the one with whom we have to do. You see, this morning, you don't have to deal with me. You see, someday when you cross over to the other side, you're not going to have the pastor there with you. You're not going to have nobody there with you. You're not accountable to me, and I'm not accountable to you in the sense that you didn't provide my salvation, and I don't provide salvation for you. In the end of all things, it's not me with whom you have to do. It's God with whom you have to do. And Paul was telling the church there at Galatia, he says in verse 9, but now after that ye have known God. You see, this woman of Samaria, she knows about God. She knows about the Messiah. She knows about the Christ coming. But does the Christ coming know about her? You see, there's a lot today say, well, I know God, I know Jesus, but the question is this, does Jesus know you? You understand? How many people today, I know Jesus, I love Jesus, I read my Bible, I go to church, I pray, and all those things are good and right if Jesus knows you. Does Jesus know you this morning? If we were to go to Jesus today up into eternity up there, and I'm not saying it's sacrilegious, and I'm not saying this in a demeaning way, but if we could interview Jesus and say, Lord, this individual down here says they know him. This is their name. Do you know who they are? No, I don't know who they are. I never knew them. Lord, they said, Lord, they've talked all this talk about you. They said all these things about you. You don't know them? No, I don't know who they are. Or rather, known of God. There's a lot of people today who know of God, but rather, does God know them? I don't care this morning if you know Jesus. I care if Jesus knows you. That's what matters. Because everything is naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Does Jesus know you this morning? Does he speak to your heart this morning? When you open up your Bible, does the Holy Spirit of God bear witness to the truth and bear witness to your heart with what you're reading is truth? Do you grow in the things of Jesus Christ? Can you understand spiritual things? You know, the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians says comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Can you get spiritual concepts and principles contained in God's word, or is it just a mere intellect of what the Bible says? That is the question this morning. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Does he know you and you know him? I would hope this morning, brethren, that if you went to my wife and you asked her who Chris Welton is, I would hope she would say yes. Now, if you do it and she says, who is he? We got issues and problems. And let me know immediately, because I'm going to go talk to her. See? We've been together for a while now. That's like a relationship with Jesus. He desires a relationship. That's what salvation's about. I just didn't get saved to not go to hell. Actually, when I got saved, I wasn't even thinking about hell. Me personally. I was thinking that how dirty and how wretched I am. And then this preacher and the Holy Spirit of God is bearing witness to it. To me saying that there's a God that loves you and died for you. That's what I was thinking about. How could God love me? How could God want to save me? And that's how I came to Jesus Christ. And I can tell you this morning that I know him and I believe with all my heart he knows me. His spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. Let's close this out back in John chapter 4. Verse 26, Jesus looks at this woman and he says unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. If you're not quite sure this morning of where you really do stand with Jesus Christ, ask him. Ask him. Talk to Jesus. Talk to him. I used to tell those boys and those girls in that juvenile center, I believe this with all my heart, I can rest in this. It doesn't bother me one bit. I believe if you start seeking God, you're going to find him. Seek ye the Lord with all your heart. Seek after God. Say, God, I want to know you. God, reveal yourself to me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me to understand these things, dear God. Help me to realize what I am before you and what you provided for me through Jesus Christ, your Son. Make these things clear and plain to me, God. And I believe the Lord will answer those prayers. The Lord talks with this woman. He says, I that speak unto thee am he. Verse 27, upon this came his disciples and marveled that he had talked with this woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou or why talkest thou with her? Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She comes to the realization that this is the Messiah. And she goes to tell others. Verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. Jump on down to verse number 38. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all things, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying. Look, brethren, look at it this morning, for we have heard him ourselves. Do you see now how it links up with Galatians and Hebrew? There in Hebrews, I've heard him with your lips, but now I hear him myself. Do you hear Jesus yourself this morning? Look what they say there in verse number 42. And he said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Have you ever heard Jesus? Have you ever heard Jesus this morning? Not just what some preacher said, not just what some brother said, not what just some sister said about Jesus, but you heard him yourself and he saved your lost soul. Brethren, I tell you, I heard Jesus March 19, 2001. I heard Jesus. I heard him deal with my soul. And I repented of my sins, and I turned to him through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he changed me, and I'm different ever since that day. I'm not what I used to be. I'm different. I'm different now. Do I still have some of the same struggles? Absolutely. But there's someone living inside this fella that wasn't there before. I'm not. Amazing grace. I once was blind, but now I see. The lights have come on. The lights have come on. Have the lights come on in your life? Have you gone like the song Amazing Grace, like John Newton wrote it? Have you passed from death unto life, from being blind to where you now you see? You see. You hear him. You hear him talking to you through his word. I'm not talking about some audible voice. I'm talking about as you read your Bible, as you pray, you have this relationship now with God the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. Brethren, I don't know why I preached this morning. All of a sudden, I was sitting there, and the Lord said, John chapter 4. I have no clue. But I believe with all my heart, as I was sitting there, I was even wrestling with God right there. When you sing that special, God was saying, John chapter 4. I said, Lord, I ain't got no notes on John chapter 4 this morning. I don't know why I preached what I just preached this morning, other than the fact that God said, John chapter 4. I pray if God's dealing with you to something this morning and you ain't truly been born again of God, that you do business with the Savior. Yes. That you think, that you'd examine, and that you make sure that you know that that you've heard Jesus yourself with your own ears, not by just somebody else telling you about him. You now have, your eyes have now been opened to the Savior of Jesus Christ. The Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, I thank you that you love us. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this woman of Samaria there at that well. Lord, I thank you for this woman and her willingness to be honest. Thank you, Lord, for this precious woman. And Lord, how it's been recorded all these years in the scriptures, dear God. And here in 2021, we can read about her and you dealing with her at that well. And Lord, I believe she received eternal life. Lord, I believe some of those men and those people there, they got saved later on, Lord God. And I thank you for it. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, if somebody here this morning that's never heard your voice, God, they just make a mere profession. They just went through the motions on something, dear Lord, and it's never truly changed them, dear God, and made them a new creature. Old things passed away. All things become new. Lord, I pray you'd show them. I pray you'd reveal it to them. I pray you'd open their eyes and their ears to hear what the Spirit hath to say this morning. Lord, for this purpose, that you would be glorified, that a sinner would be saved and come into the family of God. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that's not satisfied, they're just looking for something that will just help them in their life, that will just meet that hole that's in their heart, Lord, I pray they see that you can fulfill that longing spirit, that longing heart. Lord, help us now this day. Help us to glorify you. Help us to praise you. Help us to lift you up because you're worthy of it. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What page is Satisfied on? Remember? If you take your hymn book, we'll close with a hymn if you're able to stand. Page 344. I'd like to close with this hymn right here. Page 344. If you're able to stand, you can. Take the blue hymn book at page 344.
Miss Brother, love you. Lord, we'll see you tonight.